Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This week on In the Moment, we're looking at innovation in COVID care in South Dakota. Tomorrow on the program, we'll hear from some of the care providers Governor Kristi Noem mentioned during her State of the State address last week. But today, Avera Health, a system that operates across the state in rural and urban areas and beyond the state's borders, Avera has answered the increased need for at-home care in various ways, from telehealth to a 24-hour hotline to reduce hospitalizations due to COVID-19. Well, in 2020, from early April to mid-November, approximately 3,000 patients were treated through the Avera At-Home COVID Care Transition Program. Rhonda Wearing is Vice President of Clinical Growth and Innovation for Avera At-Home, and she joins us today. Welcome back, Rhonda. Thanks for being here.
Yes, good afternoon. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Tell me a little bit, before COVID came to South Dakota, Avera was poised in some ways to respond to this new model of at-home care and, telehealth and emergency care in rural communities. Tell us a little bit about where you were at before the pandemic struck, and then how did you pivot to meet the increased need for this, for so many people coming down with the same disease, even though it manifests itself in so many different ways?
Yes, I'd be happy to talk about that. Yeah, we were really positioned well in order to take on this new program because we were providing care at home for patients across an 87-county footprint of the Avera Health System. And that included home health and hospice services, home medical equipment. We had built a very nice structure that really lended itself very well to be able to be very quickly able to adjust and create this Avera Care at Home COVID program. And so what occurred was in the early part of the COVID incidents back in late March, our physician leader teams at the hotline approached us and said, here's the problem we need help solving. We know that many patients who get COVID are going to be mildly ill and can be taught how to monitor their symptoms and be able to do just fine at home without the services. But we also believe we're going to have a fairly big population of patients that is at least moderately ill or has high comorbidities such as diabetes or heart disease or other diagnoses, and that are likely to get more ill. And this is the population we need your help with. And what could we do together? And that's how the program got started.
So we were originally talking, you know, back in March of 2020 about field hospitals and things like that. We've always been watching those hospital capacity numbers and how many people are in ICU beds. Meanwhile, all this at-home care is also happening. Give me an idea of just how expansive this program became as you adjusted and, how quickly that adjustment was made.
Right. Well, I'm really happy to say that we were able to make that adjustment within about 10 days. So beginning April 1st, we launched this new program and the structure of how it works is it begins with a physician visit, a virtual visit or physician visit, recognizing that they meet the criteria for the program. They order our services, and then a patient care coordinator contacts the patient within an hour to 2 hours at the longest to assess what patients need. So do they need oxygen? Everybody gets an oximeter, and then everybody's going to get set up with a nurse that's going to follow them every day. That's kind of the gist of the program. So that very mm-hmm. simple format is what we use for the program, and we still do today. So patients, once they're identified for the program, they receive this daily type of nurse intervention. We work very closely on a daily basis with internal medicine physicians to get the patients different medicines or different equipment, and also to get them to the hospital if they need to go during their illness. And we've been successful. As of this morning, we've cared for about 5,000 patients using this model of care.
So one of the things that people want to know is the outcome, because certainly you don't want people being treated at home and then not making it to the hospital soon enough or having poor outcomes because they didn't get the care that they needed in a hospital setting. Tell us, on the other hand, it seems very logical. I would much rather be at home than hospitalized because of the comforts of home and the anxieties and stress of that, separation issues. Tell us a little bit about what you were learning about outcomes and what you now know that you didn't know about how this would work.
Right. Our outcomes have been very favorable. We've had no mortalities, so no deaths. We've been successful in getting patients to the hospital when they needed to go. Our overall outcomes in terms of percentages, we've had just under 5% of our patients have had to go to the hospital. Most of those patients we've been able to work with their physicians and keep and allow them to be at home yet. We've had about 7% of our patients that have had to go to the emergency room during the course of our care. And that really is to get a treatment adjustment. So those are pretty low numbers considering the severity of illness of patients that we're taking care of. From a patient satisfaction perspective, that's where this program really mattered. We've had over 97% patient satisfaction, talking about the importance and how we've been able to help people's anxiety. So it's very comforting to have that same nurse checking on the patient every single day, getting them through the times where they're feeling more short of breath, getting them the equipment that they need. That's been like the key, that thing that we've learned is that that daily contact, trusting a clinician who's become an expert in COVID care, so we really know what to expect. The other thing I would emphasize is that our team truly became experts in COVID care. So we became very adept at recognizing when patients were exhibiting symptoms that would lead them to need to go to the hospital, and we were able to get them there quickly. Patients, the 24/7 process that we use to get patients to the ER, it works. And that is one of, I think, the biggest successes. It makes a difference, and patients are telling us it makes a difference.
Yeah. This pandemic is, of course, far from over. I don't want to imply that, but I do want to ask the question of what have you learned that you think could be applied post-pandemic to other kinds of healthcare, emergencies, whether it's, people with asthma or people with diabetes or other kind of care. Are there applications for the future once once we have COVID a little further in our rearview mirror?
We learned a lot, definitely. I think one of the things that I really see what we did that made a difference is we were true partners with our physician leadership team in this effort. And that remains to be very critical. And I think any program that we would develop where we're providing more intensive types of care, either hospital level or more chronic disease level of care, we're going to want to continue that. So that because that relationship and that structure that we created allowed us to be very agile. So as soon as medical practice changes came down, evidence-based practices, we were very quickly able to implement them. So when the Centers for Disease Control recommended different oxygen requirements, we were very ready and agile enough that we could get the guidance from the physicians and then go ahead and implement it in the field. I think that's one of the biggest things. The other thing that we learned a lot about is the importance of data. So we were very fortunate to have a very robust electronic medical record and very talented report writers so that we could see on live maps where patients were located. We were able to monitor patients who were having oximetry or oxygen levels that were falling. And that allowed us to get care to them quickly and get them escalated if they're having a problem.
Yeah. Well, Rhonda, before I let you go, the last time we talked, you and I talked about, taking care of yourself, getting sleep and watching your diet and just general immune boosting things as we all wash our hands and, continue the mitigation efforts that we really haven't let up. Do you know anything more about that now that you've, had so much experience with people who have fallen ill? Are there ways that we can prepare ourselves to not only stay healthy, but to get to recover more quickly based on patient behavior?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because what we talked about the last time I was on this show was the importance of taking really good care of yourself. I don't think much of that has changed. It's a little bit, I think one of the things that we as a population and healthcare experts need to continue to remind people about is we still have a COVID pandemic, and we're going to have to continue to use the self-care measures that we've been taking, we've been doing all along, and that the importance of wearing a mask and good hand hygiene and taking the very best care of yourself, both physically and emotionally, I think the new thing is let's get vaccinated. So we believe that that's going to really help our population get to a place that we need it to, so that we have got, we're able to prevent the ongoing surge of COVID in the nation.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about that in the days ahead. I'm ready. When it's my turn, I'm ready, Rhonda. Thank you. Thank you so much for all that you have been doing and for taking time for us today. We appreciate that.
Thank you so much for inviting us.